Hey, it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
What is it that you're born to do? I think it's a fundamental question. What are you born to do? What are you born to do as an occupation? I don't know. Sometimes I think, I look at people in successful walks of life across the spectrum, and I say, that it sure looks like that profession chose them. Our next guest may fall in that category. I'm really excited to talk to Monica Vaughn, who played her high school golf in the state of Oregon, won a couple state championships, went to Arizona State, where she became a national champion in college, won individual championships, and then team championship as well. Had an amazing round on Saturday at Eugene Country Club. And now my phone's blowing up with people like Kelly Graves, the Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. Like, you have to understand, a shooting of 58 on that course is amazing. And I want to talk to Monica Vaughn about that. I want to talk to her about her journey. In essence, and she's joining us now. I think she's on her way to practice. Monica Vaughn, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you making time for us. I know you're on your way to practice, but 58, like, what was your previous personal best on that course?
Well, on that course, that's a great question. I'm not sure. I think last year at this fundraiser, I might have shot 64 or 65.
Wow.
So quite a few less than last year.
It's interesting because I'm always interested in the conditions. What were the conditions? Is this like the kind of fundraiser where you got like an adult beverage and, you know, is the course lively or, you know, was it loose? Like, what was the feeling out there?
It was awesome. It was such a fun day. Like, we got the best weather. I played with such a fun group. Walter and Shelley Macbeth, who are huge donors and great people. I played with them a million times, so I felt super comfortable. And some new friends, Denny and Carrie McNally, but we had our music playing in the car. We were drinking some beers and just having a really, really fun, very relaxed time. So it was a lot of fun.
How did that play into maybe you playing well? Is that a factor for you, or do you play well regardless of the conditions?
I think that honestly, them kind of being there and like just it being a really relaxing round, like, I'm not going to lie, you know, when I've been playing my best golf in the past, it's always been, you know, super high stakes and in college, and there's a lot of pressure. And it's like, now with my job and just the way that I play golf, it's so much more relaxed. And so I feel like in a way I can play and not have to worry about my score, not really think about it. I told Walter on, I think it was like the 15th hole when I started to feel like, oh my gosh, I might break 60 today. I was like, Walter, your only job right now is to like keep me calm and like keep the beers going, like keep the music bumping. Like, that's all I need.
Were you in trouble on any hole at any point, or was it just clean and easy all the way through?
It was a little dicey on the 16th and 17th holes. I was at that point, 12 under. So I was like right on the 59, mark, and 16 was actually a pretty easy birdie hole for me as a par five. And I hit the wrong club off the tee, blocked it right into the trees. And instantly I was just like, oh no, I'm like trying to give this away right now. So I got up there and I had to punch out and I made an easy par. And then on 17, I hooked my drive and it hit a tree, it knocked down, and I had to hit a punch shot, and I left myself at the front of the green and the pin was all the way in the back. So I had like a 60 or 70 foot putt and I had to two putt for par. And so I did, and that was, those two holes were like the most nerve-wracking I felt all day. And once I passed those holes, 18 was a breeze. I got up and down from about 40 or 50 yards and for birdie on my last hole.
Monica Vaughn is with us, Oregon assistant women's golf coach, former NCAA champion and former state champion in the state of Oregon. Reedsport, you grew up there. Did Dad introduce you to golf? Is that where you started?
Absolutely. So my oldest sisters played golf as well. I'm the youngest, and my sisters are 6 and 8 years older. And we all did other sports too, but my dad really got us into golf when we were young. And they both ended up playing golf at Portland State. And so I just kind of followed in their footsteps, really. And then I just really shot up about the time I was 15, 16, maybe a little earlier. And yeah, really, it was just me and my dad forever. It was just kind of our journey. And, you know, my mom, we always joke that dad was the coach and mom was the travel agent. And so we kind of had a good system going. And so, yeah, and he really was my coach, you know, pretty much all throughout my junior career and a little bit through college, too. It was just kind of the two of us.
We hear people all the time that will say pressure is internal, like it comes from within. And I just wonder, because you have been in pressure situations as a high school player, you know, competing for a state title and then college NCAA championship. And then you're out and you're trying to break a course record and you realize that 58 might, you know, it's a thing, it could happen. Is the pressure all the same to you, or is it different when you look at those things, for example?
That's a great question. I think I feel the pressure all the same, whether it really counts for the same thing. I think I still internally feel it. You know, I think winning the national championship, that was a kind of pressure I've never experienced. And, you know, some of that was I put on myself, but also just, you know, the thought of doing something, you know, monumental, you know, in my life and to share that with my team. And then, you know, I kind of thought that that would be like maybe the pinnacle of my career and as my playing career. But I never in a million years imagined that I would maybe shoot 59 or 58 one day. So when I was kind of on the golf course the other day and I started to realize, like, oh, my gosh, this is going to happen, I started to feel that same pressure then. So, and I feel like over the years and kind of throughout my entire golf career, I've always done very well under pressure. So it's almost like the more pressure I have, the better I perform. So I was definitely feeling it on Friday.
I know Arizona State is awful proud of you, individual NCAA championship team title as well that you won there. The story goes that you never really thought that you, like, the goal wasn't to be on the LPGA Tour. Why wasn't that the goal?
That's a great question again. I get asked this a lot, and honestly, I get asked this question every day. You know, I think there's a lot to that. That's a really loaded question, but ultimately for me, you know, I really wanted to compete at the very highest level of college golf. And, I remember when my coaches at the time, Missy Farkay and Melissa Llewellyn, were recruiting me on my visit. You know, they asked me, what do I want? And I said, I wanted to win a national championship. And so from the time I was in high school, I knew that I wanted to play on the best team and I wanted to have the best shot at winning a national championship. And that was at ASU at the time. And, you know, that was my sole focus. It was really, I think I was able to be very much in the present in my 4 years there and not think too far ahead. And it was really my senior year that I had decided about halfway through, with having some talks with my coaches and, you know, them being like, Mo, you know, you're stressing yourself out. You don't know what you're going to do. Like, you just need to make a decision. And I just was like, I feel a little bit of a burnout. Like, I just am feeling, you know, like it's not maybe meant for me. Like, my heart's not in it. I want to go out with a bang here at ASU. but I'm going to decide not to play. And so, like, in January or February of my senior year of college, I actually decided I was not going to turn professional. And then I went out and I won our regional championship and then our national championship. And so that kind of changed some things. I played professional for about 2 months. I gave it a go. And, you know, I told myself when I had first made my decision that, you know, to do it, if I was going to turn pro, to do it because that's what I wanted and not because what anybody else told me to do. And so I felt like when I finally did turn pro, I went against my own word. And so when I was out there for, you know, 2 months trying it out, I had some great fun and a lot of good experiences that I'm forever grateful for. But I just quickly realized, like, maybe this isn't for me, and that's okay.
You withdrew from the tour or Q school. What did you go do immediately after?
I drove back to Arizona. I said to myself, I am seriously burnt out from golf. Yeah. And I want to do something that I've never done. I've never made my own money. I've never had a normal job. I've never, like, I felt like I had never really done what a normal person would do. You know, and that maybe sounds kind of silly, but it was like my whole life, you know, I did. I felt like I made some sacrifices along the way, and I really chose golf as my life and my path. And so I was ready to just step away completely and kind of submerge myself in something else. So I actually went and got a job at a restaurant and just, like, totally dropped off the face of the golf world for a bit. And I loved it. I had a ton of fun. And about a year into it, I was like, okay, I cannot be doing this anymore. Like, I'm over it. Like, a year was great. It was a lot of fun. And so that's when I really started to think about coaching a lot.
I think it's great because you got a chance to take a breath. You got a chance to maybe feel like what a normal experience would have been like, you know. I could see if you were in the state of Oregon. If you were in Oregon, you would have ended up at, like, one of those Dutch Bros kiosks, you know. having fun. Yeah. But it's now you're helping kids and you're working, you're helping other players. That has to be really gratifying for you to be around, you know, young people, and you've been in that position. You've been in that position at the highest level, and you're around a sport that you love and you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I told Beth Ann the other day when she interviewed me for Golf Week that this was the arena I felt like I was kind of made for. Like, amateur golf is something that is so near and dear to my heart, and I love this level. And so that's also another reason why I'm like, I don't feel like I need to go out and prove myself on the tour. Like, I love it here, and I loved my 4 years at ASU and playing college golf so much that, you know, if I can do my best to replicate that or recreate those 4 years for other girls and give them opportunities to win and succeed and feel what I felt, like, that's what drives me, and that's what gives me purpose. So, and still to this day, like, I want to go out and compete at the Mid-Am and the USAM, and, like, that's my goal, is to still compete at a high level at the amateur events.
Monica Vaughn is our guest. She is the reigning Eugene Country Club course record holder. Do you get something for that? Do you get, like, a parking spot? Do you never pay for a meal? What happens?
Well, I got a really, really amazing dinner out of it, so I'll take that. But, no, I think they still – you know what? I actually walked out of there out of just, like, pure excitement, and I didn't even grab the scorecard. They emailed, and they were like, hey, do you want this? Like, do you want to frame it or something? So I still need to go pick it up. But, no, at ECC, they treat us very well. We're very lucky to have them as our home course.
Your parents did something right, I can tell, because you're grounded, you're serving others. It feels to me like the team accomplishment at Arizona State probably meant as much or more to you than the individual accomplishment. What advice do you give to parents out there who would love to get their kids involved? I got three daughters. I'd love for them to be golfers. It's a sport they can play their whole life. What advice do you give to parents?
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you for asking this question. Yeah, you're right. To answer, the team aspect of it for me was seriously the most fun thing that I've ever done. I think about it every single day to this day. Like, something pops up, a memory about that. And, like, I just remember all the fond memories that I ever had playing team sports in high school. I played volleyball. with all my best friends and basketball. And so that's another reason why, you know, playing out on tour was just not it for me, was because I didn't have that team aspect. And that's what really drives me to be better and me to want to be really, really good. So to the parents who are getting their kids into golf or any other sport, like, I highly encourage you to have your kids play multiple sports and to learn how to be on a team, because golf is so individual. And I think, you know, a lot of parents maybe these days get really wrapped up in making sure their kid succeeds at this one thing. But there are so many other skills to learn from being a part of a team, in life and in sports. And you know, my head coach, my boss, Derek, and I, we talk about it all the time, like, you know, golf is so individual, but at the end of the day, like, we are a group, we are a family, we are a team. And so having people on our team that have experience in that really makes the atmosphere so much stronger, so much better. It makes us all work harder. You know, we're not selfish. Like, we lean on each other. We support one another. So I say to all the parents, have your kids play all the sports that they can.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. How young did you have a golf club in your hand? How young should kids get going?
From the time I was really young, so I mean, I probably picked up a golf club when I was 3 or 4, maybe 5, and I started playing in tournaments when I was 8. And, you know, for any parents in Oregon that are looking to get their kids into golf, the Oregon Junior Golf Association is incredible. They have, you know, tournaments starting for kids, I think, by the time they're around 7 now. It used to be 8 when I was playing. And they go all throughout the year. And they make it so fun. And so that's where really I got my start. And I love them. They're like a family to me. And, you know, so I was very young, but you can start golf at any age. I think that's the cool part about golf, is that it's something that you can do for your entire life. So no matter what age you are, you can always pick it up and have fun with it.
I appreciate you. I appreciate, you know, all the advice and the wisdom. And, you know, I know you are helping kids by coaching now. What are you guys able to do on the course? How has this pandemic affected sort of the Oregon women's team?
Sure. It's affected us big time. I mean, actually, we only have one girl back this fall. And we have 7 on our team. So when this all hit, you know, everybody left in the middle of March and went back with their families, and we haven't seen them since then. So we really miss them, and we wish that they could be back this fall. But, you know, with everything going on, and we're just trying to make sure, you know, that our big sports, football and basketball, can play. And you know, just for everybody's safety, we gave our girls the option whether they wanted to come back this fall or whether they wanted to just do school remotely at home and be with their families. And so that's what most of them chose to do. And we're very happy that that was their decision, because it's tough, you know, for them to be, we're very international, so for them to be here and far away from their families and to just have a completely, you know, just unprecedented, weird experience, you know, I think it's better that they're home with their family. So we have still our full schedule planned for the spring, and we're very hopeful, and everybody's supposed to be coming back as planned in January. So we're ready to get the ball rolling and just kind of get it back in gear. We've got 4, I think, girls on our team right now that are the best world ranking that they've ever been. We've got our incoming freshman. She's from Taiwan. She's our top ranked player on the team right now. She's ranked 65th in the world. So, you know, the Oregon Ducks just keep climbing up. We finished our season last year ranked 14th, and we're hoping to crack the top 10 this year. So we're very excited.
Monica Vaughn, I appreciate you. Keep doing what you do. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate it.
There she is, 58. 58. You could save the jokes about, you know, was it the front 9? Was it the back 9? It was all 18. 58 for Monica Vaughn. Pressure is pressure. I think such a wise lesson about figuring out what your goals are, what you want to be about, who you want to be in the world, and then stay true to it. It's incredibly inspiring. You see a young person still in her 20s, just so aware of that. Parents did something right, not just in raising her as a golfer, but raising her as a person. Leave it here. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide. University of Portland and Portland State remain shut out by the state of Oregon. Oregon Governor Kate Brown digging in. I got a response from the governor's office on the why. Why isn't UP and Portland State allowed to return? You just heard from the women's assistant golf coach at Oregon. They're planning to come back. They're planning to come back to campus under the same exemption that was granted to the football programs. The governor granted an exemption to Oregon and Oregon State. Football slid under the exemption. Basketball, men's and women's basketball, slid under the same exemption. Now here comes the rest. Oregon and Oregon State know that if they can follow simple protocols that have been laid out by the governor, they can bring all the sports teams back. Meanwhile, the governor of the state of Oregon is saying to Portland State and UP, hey, our focus is on other things, more important things. And that's true. It should be. But I can walk and chew gum at the same time. And it brings us to our big splash.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be.
The big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Spokesperson for Oregon Governor Kate Brown's office just sent me an email moments ago. I'm going to read it to you. Charles Boyle writes, hey, getting kids back in school who haven't been in a classroom since last spring is where the governor's focus is. Finding a way for families to safely visit their loved ones in long-term care facilities that they haven't seen since March. Making sure Oregonians who lost everything to wildfires have a warm place to call home for winter. It went on and on and on. And that's all great, and that's all important stuff. But the governor's office, for the time being, has announced that no further exemptions for indoor college sports will be considered until case counts are brought down. Look, I understand the basic premise there. I get it. You don't want to open the door for University of Portland and Portland State to begin practicing, but you've already done it at Oregon and Oregon State. And here's what's going to happen. University of Portland men's and women's basketball programs are going to go across the state lines and practice. Portland State will be right behind them. And then what's the governor going to do? What is Governor Kate Brown going to do when Oregon and Oregon State, who are scheduled to play University of Portland and Portland State in non-conference games...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face...
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.